there's moonbeams in your elbows, and there's rivers in your head. And I wanna see you forever, babe, forever. Don't take me back in time now, but there's nothing for me there.
Welcome to On the Wing, podcast presented by Purina Pro Plan. Here's a quote for you. Go out there and explore. Get lost in the wild. Make mistakes, but learn from those mistakes. Those are the words from my featured guest, Illinois' very own, Freddie Reyes. On today's episode of On the Wing Podcast, we'll talk about becoming a bird hunter with a side dish of a early wing shooting report from the state of Illinois, where pheasants and quail both opened up on November 1st. We've got Aaron Williams, our Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever regional representative for Northern Illinois, riding shotgun with me as today's co-host. Before we go through introductions, I want to once again thank Purina Pro Plan, not only as our national dog food sponsor at Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever, but also the presenting sponsor of On the Wing Podcast. All of my pups have always eaten Purina Pro Plan, not just because Purina supports the wildlife habitat conservation mission of our organization, which is incredibly important to me and should be important to you as well. But the single most important thing about Purina Pro Plan, the thing that you should know, is that Pro Plan was created by the world's best scientists and nutritionists for the working bird dog like yours and mine. Learn more at ProPlansport.com. All right, without further ado, going to ask Aaron, who I introduced as my co-host, making his On the Wing debut, and as a co-host, no less. Go ahead, Aaron, and introduce folks, our listeners, to who you are, what you do for the organization. Give a little bit, 60-second biography for us.
Sure, no problem. So Aaron Williams, I'm the senior regional representative in Northern Illinois. I actually hail from the great state of Nebraska. Go Big Red. I'd be remiss if I didn't drop that in there. But a lifelong bird hunter, I've been with the organization now for about 5 years as a regional representative. I run a Brittany, so if you wanted to know what kind of bird dog I have, I got a little orange and white Brittany from Covey Rise Kennels. Shout out to them as well. Enjoy running around and getting to help and support my volunteers here in Northern Illinois. To give an aspect of my job, I serve as an advisory role towards the 31 chapters here in the state of Illinois, and then growing that program, and then doing some fundraising on the backside for our organization's priorities through Legislative Action Fund, through the Path to the Uplands, through our BAWA programs, and then our state program as well. So supporting that state team here in the state of Illinois.
And you're super engaged in merchandise as well, right?
Yeah, I dabble. So I've got I'll call it a merchandise background. And so getting an opportunity to help design and help some make the decisions, different merchandise things we can try with a lot of help from my volunteers on what they like and kind of what they don't like at the same time, helps us make some good decisions for our chapters to have some selected items that they can fundraise with at their banquet.
Yeah, Fred, and we love that feedback. Knowing what's working at the local level is critically important, not only from retail merchandise, but from banquet package items. We have, thinking about 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, we have 1 degree of Kevin. We didn't really know each other, but you worked at Dick's Sporting Goods, and one of my coworkers from the Saints was one of your coworkers, Jeff Wright. So
yeah,
the small world category there.
Yeah, it was always funny when I was running a store in Omaha. I was in the Minneapolis market, and so I was up in Minneapolis about every month for meetings. And I never would have thought that my community marketing manager out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, would have been a guy that knows you personally. So cool that we share that relationship.
Yeah, And the other connection for folks that hear your last name, your brother works for the organization as well.
Yeah, yeah. So I was first, for the record. But yeah, my brother, Andy, is the regional representative in Wisconsin. So funny that we both grew up in Nebraska, and he's in Wisconsin, and I'm in Illinois, and serving as regional representatives, but have a blast. So we call each other the Williams Wall. If you've never seen us in person, we're pretty dang tall, and we can hide a lot of people. But I'm very blessed to have my brother alongside me, and it's fun to share the wins and losses with each other when we're out on the road. A lot of people don't realize the regional rep team, there's 26 of us across the country, and we spend a lot of time on the phone with each other. So when we're out driving, it helps you stay awake, and two, it's fun to share the victories when you have a great banquet that tops off. Man, I was at this, I saw this, it was really cool, and then we can use that information for our chapters to say, hey, I heard this from this guy, and then having it be my brother makes it even better. So a lot of fun.
Minnesota Vikings fans will take umbrage with you calling yourselves the Williams Wall. You know, thinking back to Pat Williams and Kevin Williams in the Vikings era, you know, two guys, a guy from Illinois at Bears land and then a guy from Wisconsin Packers land. That's going to create some a little bit of controversy for today's podcast.
Well, whatever spice we can add to the conversation today.
Go ahead and tell us how long you've known Freddie. Set the table for Freddie.
Yeah, so Freddie Reyes, chapter president out of Kane County, Illinois, so it's Chicago suburbs. And Freddie and I met, about 2 years now. We've known each other and worked through a chapter restart of our Kane County chapter. And really excited to have him on. I think his story is, one, unique, and two, exciting, and three, it's going to make people want to get out of their seats and do some volunteer work when they hear about all the cool things that he's doing. And as you know, Bob, the volunteers are the lifeblood of our organization. And so not only did Freddie bring along himself, but a community with him, and that community is now up and running a chapter for PF, engaging new audiences and bringing people along. And I'm super proud to get to work alongside of him and be an advisor for him and his chapter. I'm really proud of what they've done in Kane County. They hosted their opening banquet or their first banquet as a restart. Super successful night. Just really cool to see the community, come around these guys. But Freddie definitely has the steering wheel in that chapter. And with that, I'll let you flip it over to him.
Yeah, Freddie, tell us, we'll get in deep to the volunteer component, but give us a little bit about who you are, where you grew up, your background.
Yeah, so again, Freddie Reyes. I've been with King County Festivals Forever for just a little bit over 2.5 years. I'm originally from Mexico. I was born and raised in Mexico until the age of 12. Then I moved to Texas for a couple of years, then moved to Chicago, and I've been in Chicago ever since. I've been a hunter my whole life, you know. Funny thing is, I am pretty new to bird hunting. I want to say maybe 4 years, 5 years into bird hunting. It's always been, you know, whitetail deer, turkey, doves, and things like that. Things that are accessible for us in Mexico. That's what I grew up with. But as far as bird hunting, it's only been a couple of years. I didn't even know about Pheasants Forever until I went to a event with another chapter. And I think I made a mistake that everybody makes, you know, I hear pheasants forever. I'm like, oh, all we're doing is going to be pheasant hunting, you know. I didn't even realize that pheasant hunting is like 5% of everything that we do, you know, compared to habitat restoration and things like that. So, again, 2.5 years with the chapter. I've been a president of King County for 18 months. Really exciting. I think we're moving on the right direction. I have a great team. A lot of help from Aaron, you know, and not just from Aaron, but for pretty much anyone that comes in contact with the chapter. Everybody's been a key success to where we are right now as a chapter overall.
You mentioned growing up as a hunter and focusing on doves and turkeys and deer. Was there ever any quail in the mix as a kid in Mexico or moving there to Texas?
There is quail in Texas, but again, I just wasn't a big, you know, big hunter. I didn't have any dogs growing up, at least not hunting dogs. So it always made it so much difficult, you know, but dove hunting, it's a big thing in Mexico. White-tailed deer is really big in Mexico as well. Turkey. So
Go ahead, Aaron.
Bob, we talk a lot about those bird dogs, right? It's the bird dog that brings a lot of hunters to the table. And I think Freddie could lean into that, right? When you say he wasn't a bird hunter, he picked up his bird dog, and that's what changed his mindset and hunting trajectory. So, Freddie, tell us about your bird dog.
So I have a German Shorthair Pointer. Her name is Bailey. She's out of Point and Flush Gun Dogs out of Wisconsin. She is the most, I always like to tell people, she's the dumbest, smartest dog in the world. Because you take the e-collar off, and she doesn't know what to do with her life. And as soon as the thing goes on, it's business only. Like, she is ready to rock and roll. And we don't do, like, trials and NAFTAD or AKC trials, but she is recognized in the northern Chicago line area. You know, every time we go to, like, Silver Springs or, like, anywhere where they got control pheasant hunts, they see my pickup truck. The first thing they ask is, oh, where's Bailey? Well, a lot of the guys that the hunt, they like Bailey. She's actually going to be guiding with us at the director's hunt in December here in Illinois. I don't know if you know what that is. Aaron can tell you a little bit more about it. This is my first time guiding for them. So,
yeah, so DNR director, I'm assuming.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yep. The Illinois Conservation Foundation hosts a director's hunt, and it goes alongside the DNR. And it's a great fundraiser for them. We're happy to have them as a partner here in the state of Illinois, that we can come alongside and get to enjoy a couple days of hunting along with a nice banquet. And go figure, they find a regional rep to help them run a banquet.
Well, that's a perfect transition to where I want to go, which is sort of a hunting report for the state of Illinois. Before we get there, I want to, first of all, thank Greenbelt Premium for bringing back the Greenbelt camo cans and cases with Pheasants Forever this hunting season. This final Greenbelt Premium moment marks the end of the promotion for this year as we close out November. You can, however, still find Pheasants Forever camo cases of Greenbelt Premium and Premium Light, the pheasant-friendly beer, on store shelves in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota. So if you're listening to us in Illinois, you can just cross one of those borders and go find Greenbelt. Interesting fact is, I'll insert here, I was looking at the analytics to the podcast. Illinois represents the second largest listenership for On the Wing podcast of any state. Minnesota, as you may predict based on our home footprint, is number one, but Illinois, number two in On the Wing podcast listeners. So everybody from Illinois, thank you very much for listening, and go get some Greenbelt Premium across the border. Today's Greenbelt Premium moment comes in from Greg from Minnesota on Instagram, and Greg writes, I was going on a pheasant hunting trip with my kids to South Dakota. We are driving from Minnesota 6.5 hours with my twin boys to South Dakota, and they were anxious to create memories in the field. About halfway through the drive, I had an oh no moment. My boys said, "What's up, Dad?" And I had to say, I forgot to grab the bag with all their hunting gear. They both thought I was kidding, but I was not. Fortunately, we made it to Cabela's in Mitchell right before the close of business that day. I bought new hunting vests, hunting pants, hunting shirts, socks, and hats. And I, again, have twin boys, so it added up very quickly. Fortunately, I didn't forget their guns. We had a great trip to South Dakota with my boys, and to this day, they bring up that memory of me forgetting all their gear. Truly, no price can replace the memories in the field with your sons, even if it costs you a hefty price at the sporting goods store. Greg, thank you so much for sending in that fun story. Cabela's and Mitchell also thanks you for contributing to their bottom line that hunting season. And once again, thank you very much to Grain Belt Premium for bringing us another season of premium moments in the field. Greg, a Grain Belt Premium prize pack is headed your way. I guess before we get to the Illinois report, I will admit to having forgotten a shotgun on a hunting trip twice. Once was just a day trip in Minnesota. So about 2 hours in, I had to turn around and go back for my gun. The other time actually happened on Rooster Road Trip. I left on a Browning shotgun in the hotel room. Thankfully, it was only like a 15-minute delay. But have you guys?
I forgot my dog one time.
Oh, how do you forget your dog?
It was one of those 3 o'clock get up in the morning. You know, I had not gotten off a long shift, and I'm packing everything, and I got the kennel, and I got the food, and the shotguns, and the orange, and I have a German Shorthaired Pointer, and as you guys know, they whine for hours. That's like their signature thing, right? And I'm like, damn, this rat is really quiet. And I look back in the cabin, and the kennel is empty. I'm like, shoot, Jesus Christ. Luckily, I was only like 20 minutes away. But if it wasn't because I know how whiny my dog is before she gets on the field, I would have driven an hour and a half, got into the field with no dog. And it probably, I still would have hunted, but it probably would have been very, very miserable. So
I can't say that I've ever forgot my dog, and I've never forgot my gun, but I have forgot my boots before. So I did make a stop in a Tractor Supply one time, and I bought a pair of boots that were too small, but I needed the only ones they had, and I ran out there with a brand new pair of boots, and my feet did not appreciate the end of that hunt. But
there's your pro tip, listeners. Create a checklist and make sure shotgun, dog, and boots are on that checklist, and keep it on the refrigerator all hunting season. All right. I know you guys have been out for the Illinois season. It's only been open for, a couple weeks at this point. But we'll start with Aaron, because I know you've had success. You've sent me photos of your success.
Yes.
What's the upland bird hunting been like in Illinois so far?
Yeah, so we opened on the 1st of November, statewide for both pheasants and quail. A lot of people don't kind of know the geography of Illinois. On the northern part of the state is more of our traditional pheasant range, and then we get really into a quail range in western on the Mississippi River, and then down in the southern part of the state. And so our best area, I would say, like our best area of wild birds is going to be in our east central part of the state. We've got Ford, Iroquois, Livingston, McLean County. It's kind of our traditional pheasant belt in the state. And fortunately, I was invited to go over there for the opener and had great success, really solid bird numbers over there. And I always like to tell people that I've hunted in the Dakotas, I've hunted in Nebraska, Iowa. You can find places in Illinois that have just as many birds. You hear all the traditional stories of, man, when I was this age and the, you know,
back in the 60s,
there were birds there. They still exist in those pocketed areas that really have solid cover. And so our mission will continue to strain really hard that where we put grass on the ground, we are having birds in the field. And I did some check-in reports with other areas of the state. Southern Illinois seeing really strong covey numbers during harvest this year. And then as that led into the opener down there, still seeing the same thing, some really strong coveys. We had a pretty mild summer. As far as rain goes, we had good hatch. So we're seeing strong numbers there. So we'll continue to win a lot of stories. We are a little bit of a deer hunting state too, Bob. So sometimes when I'm checking in, I see how people's harvest reports are going. They say, I don't know, I'm still sitting in a tree waiting to tag a big one, but I'm seeing a lot. I'm hearing a lot of the whistle reports. And I did a check-in in Western Illinois as well. Covey counts of the whistle counts were really high. So excited to see what we'll do the rest of the year in the state of Illinois. But I can say from my personal experience so far, the birds are out there. So I love when people always say there's no wild birds in Illinois anymore. And I'm like, well, I would challenge that because I continue to find them on public and private land. And I don't have that good of a dog. She's a little girl, little pup that's only two. So I can't give her all the credit, but we're finding them.
That's outstanding. I just, a couple episodes back, had Tom Carpenter on, and He said very similar things about Illinois, which, fully admit, I have never hunted in Illinois, so I got to get that state checked off my list here in the not-too-distant future. But Carp, editor of the Pheasants Forever Journal, says, and many of the chapter hunts, and granted, many of these have been on private land.
Correct.
Those bird numbers have rivaled South Dakota, North Dakota, you name it, where there's quality habitat. In Illinois, on some private land with great quality soil, terrific, native vegetation has produced good numbers over the years.
Yeah, and we do have some pretty robust public land complexes as well. So just to give a shout out to what DNR is doing, a lot of times they get a lot of crap for not doing enough. There's places that we have. So I hunted, was fortunate to be invited to hunt public land in our Saybrook piece in McLean County. And we put up over 30 birds in one morning on a 200 acre piece. And so those aren't pin race birds. Those are wild birds. And it's fun for me to get an opportunity to go on those hunts. And I would say the challenge with Illinois public land hunting is it's all done through a lottery. So you do have to apply for certain places to hunt. And if you get drawn, you get that one day where you can be there. So there are challenges to public land hunting. We do have one BAWA piece or Build a Wildlife Area piece for those listeners out here in our Knox County area that we control and operate that is open for public hunting. It's been restored prairie in Knox County. We call it Forever Fields. And that does have wild quail, wild pheasants. You can find turkeys and you can find white-tailed deer. You can duck hunt it. You can fish it. It's a really cool 500-acre property there in the middle of the state, so it's pretty accessible for folks as well.
Cool.
To go be a part of that.
Freddie, what has Bailey put you on so far this season?
So far, we haven't done any public. We're actually going to do our first public this Sunday, but we've been guiding a lot. We actually just had a clinic at the Iroquois Fishing Wildlife Area through the DNR. We had about 30 kids there on Saturday, this past Saturday. So we did a wing shooting clinic in the morning and a pheasant control pheasant hunt in the afternoon. I guessed four kids and every kid walked out of there with two birds each. So, yeah, it was a good experience, seeing all those kids very happy with their birds. And again, I do a lot of guiding in private, but she's been doing great. And a couple of my friends have been going out to public. They've been coming home with their two birds. So,
yeah. I can hear in your voice that, you're one of those folks that lives through the success and joy of other people. So, that's going to be a terrific transition to talking about your volunteerism. I want to take a moment and thank Onyx. If you've been living in under a rock, you're probably the only person that hasn't heard of Onyx. They're an absolutely terrific partner of Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever. They're a national sponsor and they're a signature partner of our PATH, Public Access to Habitat program, which has already opened up more than 100,000 acres of high quality habitat on private land to public land hunting. Those acres are currently in South Dakota and Nebraska, but new this year, PATH is rolling out in North Dakota, Oklahoma, and in Michigan. Onyx is helping us make that all happen, putting boots on the ground for everybody to explore better habitat and more access. If it's time to renew your subscription to Onyx, please go to the link in the show notes and use the code PFQF. You'll not only get 20% off your Onyx membership, but Onyx will make a contribution for everybody that uses it, contribution back to our organization for everybody that uses that code. Onyx is just an absolutely terrific partner. All right, volunteerism. This is kind of the meat of this episode, and it was Aaron's idea. He's like, I got this volunteer in Payne County, Illinois, that we've got to put a spotlight on. If I could clone one person in the world to have in every chapter across the country, it'd be Freddie. So, Freddie, why is volunteerism kind of at the heart of your identity?
I think it all started with me trying to learn the ropes of different types of hunting, birds included, and not really having anyone, you know, kind of show me the ropes, you know. So I know firsthand how hard it is to do things such as, like, you know, getting started to what clothing to buy, you know, to what shotguns, what type of ammo, you know, permits, licenses, navigating the DNR website. So I don't know. I just kind of took it upon myself one day and say, you know what, if I'm going to do this, and, you know, I like to teach people so they don't struggle the way I did.
Hmm. Do you gravitate towards, like, helping youngsters, helping adult onset hunters, women? So, like, who's easiest to coach? Who do you like coaching the best?
I like the kids better. Yeah. So if I'm being honest, I like coaching kids better because they listen and they don't have the "well, I know what I'm doing" mentality. But, you know, overall, we try to help everyone. You know, we do different things, and not just necessarily with just, like, you know, bird hunting, but we have a small, I wouldn't call it a chapter, but it's a small group of individuals that I'm very blessed to be able to hang out and call my friends. And one day we were sitting down and we're like, you know what, do we want to make it easier for everybody? I kind of got them introduced to hunting and shooting, and they loved it. And I see it on their faces. And that's one thing that motivated me, you know, because I always think about, like, maybe that's probably what I look like when I, you know, when I started to.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I have little ones, you know, I have three daughters. One of them is 7 years old, and she's super into, you know, hunting and the outdoors and things like that. So, by me volunteering and you know, running the chapter with Pheasants Forever helps me be able to bring my kid and my friend's kids out and kind of get them out, you know, out on the open, out on the outdoors, and get going with all the stuff that we do as a chapter and as a community as well.
Yeah, I think Freddie would also be remiss if he didn't touch on the Illinois Learn to Hunt program and his involvement with the Illinois Learn to Hunt program. So, Freddie, why don't you into that a little bit, and how those guys have influenced you and what you've been to come alongside them as well.
The Illinois Learn a Hunt program, it's an amazing program through the University of Illinois, and this one is geared more towards adult hunters, you know, for people that, you know, they're in their 20s and or 30s or even sometimes older people, and they want to learn how to hunt, but they never really had, you know. I guess all three of us were probably lucky enough to have the uncle that hunted or the grandpa that hunted. But some of these folks don't have that or never had that. So the Illinois Learn to Hunt program is great because it basically it's out there to pair people, you know, with mentors that have a little bit more experience. And it's great because it also showcases that, you know, it's, at least when I was growing up, hunting was always like, oh, that's a white people sport, you know, and Learn a Hunt program kind of breaks that mentality, you know, because we got mentors from every color, race, religion, background, ethnicity, you name it, we have it. So it's a great program. They do an amazing job. Every year they do Hunt Camp, which is basically a huge social network event. And it's amazing. That's kind of how I got involved with them. You know, I was there for 2 years in a row, and they're like, oh, this guy's not going anywhere. Might as well call him out and make him an ambassador, put him to work.
A two-part question for you related to that. What was the most intimidating element for you personally to become a bird hunter? And is that same intimidating factor true today of that you see in the kids? You know, is there any parallels or things changed?
The most intimidating thing for me was just getting started, you know, like not being afraid to ask questions and make mistakes and, you know, and just listen to everyone try to give you advice, you know, because as an adult hunter, you know, you're like, oh, well, I don't need advice for pheasant hunting. I hunted deer or I hunted turkey, but it's like a completely different world, you know? So to me, that was a little bit of that challenge for me as well, you know, breaking that mentality and being like, oh, you know what? I don't know pheasant hunting. Let me step back and be able to actually listen to these people that have more experience. So. And actually, if I had to say it, I started bird hunting thanks to a hunt family event through Lake County Pheasants Forever.
Hmm.
They do 2 family hunts every year since I know them. So huge shout out to Lake County Pheasants Forever, Matt Mercero, Louis Guzman, and then Jordan. You know, those the three main guys from that chapter. I got invited to do a control pheasant hunt at Richmond Hunt Club, and I saw a dog working, and I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. Like I need one of those dogs before and sure as hell three weeks later I was making phone calls and looking online, and I ended up finding Bailey and never looked back after that.
And what about the intimidation factor for kids today? Is it the same thing, foundation of knowledge, or is there something else?
I think the biggest factor for kids is it's not the hunting itself, but it's more like the shooting part itself, you know. I think firearms have become a big stigma nowadays. You know, firearms are bad. But it's. I always try to tell kids, you know, like this shotgun is a firearm, not a weapon. So don't look at it as a weapon. It's a tool. You know, you're out here. You're basically. I try to tell them you're out here for a mission. You know, this is your tool to complete your work. Your work is to bring those birds down. So look at it like that. Don't look at it as a weapon. Don't look at it as, you know, oh, it's a gun or it's, you know. So I think for me, when it comes to coaching, that's like one of the biggest factors, intimidating factors when it comes to coaching little ones.
I know that, if I recall correctly, you're a mechanical engineer, correct?
Yes.
Is there any parallels or advantages to being an engineer? And I'm thinking, like, you probably have a very analytical, structured mind and work process, and then volunteering and teaching hunting. That can go 2 ways. It can be very structured. It could also be somewhat organic. Like, is there any parallel to your career in how you approach?
I think the way it helps me is that when we come across an issue, it makes it easier for me to come out with a solution. You know, I like to say that I'm pretty quick when it comes to like thinking on my feet. So if I see something, I'm like, okay, how do we make this better? You know, so like, for example, on Saturday when we were hunting with the kids on the Iroquois Fish and Wildlife area, I noticed that 3 of the kids had oversized vests, you know, so they're trying to mount a shotgun and it's getting stuck on their armpits. I'm like, okay, what do we do? I said, let me go to the truck. I got some zip ties. Let me tie it on your back, make it tight to your chest.
Here.
And everybody loved this. So I guess that the engineering part, you know, that I'm always thinking about how to solve issues kind of relates to, you know, how to put those things out in the field and find solutions quickly.
Heck yeah. I mean, I had no idea, but using zip ties to tighten up a kit, I mean, that's the mechanical engineering that he had applied to hunt. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better example.
I thought that's a rite of passage, that your vest had to be way too big and you had to swim it when you were little. Like, I thought that was just how we had to do it when you grew up in the Appalachian.
Right. No, but hey, again, I wanted my kids to be successful, you know, my group of kids. So I said, listen, let's fit you up. Let's figure out what works for you, what doesn't. And go from there. And everybody was so happy at the end of the day, you know. And I told them, I was like, hey, you want me to cut the zip tie? They're like, no, leave it. That's how I'm going to wear it from now on.
So we mentioned your work with Illinois DNR, Cade County. The other one on my list here is the Fox Valley Casa y Pesca.
So that's...
I've got just a little bit of Spanish. But so is that... hunt and fish? Casa y Pesca is hunt and fish? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so tell us what that is.
So again, that started with 4 guys. Me and these guys are actually part of the board of my chapter, you know. Again, huge shout out to Jaime, Ivan, and Pai, and myself. This kind of started with Jaime's dad, you know. He was telling us a story about how 20 years ago, he went to Bass Pro Shop and spent like $1,000 in gear and a shotgun and a tree stand and camo and everything. And he just didn't know where to start. Like, he's like, well, what do we do now? That, and then you bring in the factor that, you know, the language barrier is another big obstacle for Spanish speaking people or for just anybody who doesn't speak the language, you know? So we took it upon ourselves and said, you know what? Let's help out people like your dad, you know, like, I saw your dad. He harvested his very first deer with me 2 years ago when we started this Fox Valley Casa y Pesca. And that's what clicked, you know, all the gears started turning in my head. And I said, how do we replicate the feeling your dad had and bring that back to that community. And we started with the Latino community just based on the area where we live, you know, and obviously we're all Hispanic. But we have ever since we've grown it to whoever needs help, you know, they reach out to us. We have a small page on Facebook and people reach out to us all the time, whether it's like, hey, how do I get a waterfall stamp, or hey, how do I clean a deer, or how do I start pheasant hunting? So that's kind of what the essence of Fox Valley Casa en Pesca is.
Cool. You talk about, you know, your Hispanic background, and for whatever, I always think about food when I think about hunting and, you know, getting a bird on, you know, in my dog's mouth and back home. You know, how do you approach wild game? Is it something where, you know, it's, well, I guess I'll just leave it at that. How do you approach wild game?
So for us, wild game and hunting, it's not so much about like the trophies, you know, and who gets the biggest, the longest tail on the rooster or the most points on the deer, you know. For us, when it comes to things like that, it's more about what we do with the wild game after, you know, whether it's, you know, we all come together and somebody's backyard and we start cleaning the birds, processing the birds, and then we all eat them as a family, you know. So that's what hunting and all of that is for us, and the wild game and wild meat, that's what it comes into play for us, being able to share with your family and friends.
Right. I mean, that's the origin story dating back to the beginnings, right? What about recipes, preparations? What's your go-to for, you got some, you know, you had a successful day in the field and you got some pheasants and quail. What are you going to prepare as a family?
You know, one of the biggest things that I like to make is a mole. Have you ever heard?
I have, yes.
It's a
brown red sauce, right?
Brown red sauce, depending on which part of Mexico you're from, it could be, sometimes it's like a dark green, brown, or red.
Hmm.
And we kind of treat it as chicken, but obviously, you know, that if you leave pheasant on the grill for 2 seconds too long, it's, you know, there's no gray area when it comes to this, and it's either raw or overcooked. So we figure, you know what, instead of, you know, just doing your traditional grill or your poppers or taking the breasts and you know, making whatever, we kind of treat it as chicken. And, you know, we try to make whatever we make chicken dishes with, we substitute that with pheasant, and it works out beautifully.
So the mole, whether it be green, brown, or red, is that related to chili peppers? And if
you use it's about 8 or 9 chili peppers on the mixture, a little bit of chocolate.
Really? That's where okay. I can
it's like a contrast. It's like a little contrast, yeah. And I brought a big crock pot of mole to one of the hunt camp events for Learn to Hunt last year. And people loved it. It was really good. I made it just enough with enough spice to not scare people off. Yeah. It was great, yeah. And again, you know, like I personally grew up with a family that, you know, used wild game for a lot of our recipes. My grandfather is an immigrant, or was an immigrant from the Philippines. He immigrated to Mexico when he was young. And throughout his whole life, he was a big time hunter. You know, we have stories and pictures and everything on him, you know, hunting deer, turkeys, doves, and stuff like that. So we weren't strangers to wild meat growing up.
Mm. Cool. Well, before we run out of time, I want to, first of all, thank you. Thanks for being a volunteer, not only with, you know, Pheasants Forever, but everything you're doing. I mean, you're super involved in the entire community of hunters and anglers in the state of Illinois.
Absolutely.
And you're giving back, you know, countless hours in time to something that you clearly care about. What keeps you going? Why is this kind of part of your, you know, fabric of who you are as a person?
Part of the things that keep me going, again, it's our children, you know, my kids, my friends' kids, you know, seeing the enthusiasm on their face, seeing the smiles on their face, not just when you harvest, you know, but just being able to go out in the outdoors and sit under a tree for 5 hours and maybe not harvest anything, but just be able to be out there. That's a huge motivator for me.
Right on.
Yep.
And what advice would you give a listener who cares about the exact same things you do? whether that be passing on these traditions and love of the outdoors to the next generation. But they, you know, maybe somebody's listening that just hasn't taken that next step to volunteer. What would you tell them?
Well, my closing will probably be the opening statement that you made, you know, just don't be afraid to make mistakes, go in the outdoors, you know, reach out to people that, you know, are willing. There's a lot of us out there that are willing to help and coach and mentor and guide you. Don't be afraid to reach out. And just make mistakes, learn from those mistakes and, you know, just be better every time.
It's fun for you, isn't it?
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Sometimes I'm like, man, how do I find time? And then I think about it and I think about the kids and I think about the excitement. And I'm like, hey, you know what? It's worth it. 2 hours of sleep is enough for me.
Aaron, put a bow on this for what have we missed in this conversation that you want to reiterate or to bring up?
Yeah. I just, I want to say thank you to Freddie. And I think that he was extremely humble during this and he deserved to sing even more praises of what he's done. Not only for Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever, but what he does for IDNR as a bilingual wing shooter instructor and hunter safety instructor, at what he does for Fox Valley Cazi Pesca. I can't even say the Spanish on this show, but of introducing Latinos to the outdoors, right? The outdoors are for everyone. And Freddie realizes that. And not only does he realize that, but he makes sure they get an opportunity to come along. And I think that's what's special about our volunteers at Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever is they don't do it for themselves. They do it to bring others into the uplands and love every part of what we do. And so he deserves all the recognition that he gets. I'm thankful that he's telling this story. I think when you think of what we do at Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever, we think path to the uplands as like an overarching theme, right? The path to the uplands through Kane County is real. He brings other chapters together. They support each other. He has his friends involved, their kids. They're getting the outdoors. They're finding people who want to get in and they're getting them in. They don't find an excuse to say, sorry, we can't do that. They find a reason to get them into the field. And so just a huge thank you to all of my volunteers, but especially Freddie and what he's done to really, you know, regenerate a whole bunch of chapters here in the Chicago Metro. Not an easy place to host the Pheasants Forever event. But you know what, Bob, I'll hit a high note on this in the state of Illinois just to give us a shout out. Over 9,000 members of Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever now in Illinois. And it's only going to keep growing, probably because of guys like Freddie and all of my other chapters that are out there getting it done. So a huge thank you to all of our volunteers for everything that they do for our organization, because the health of our organization is the health of our volunteers.
Extremely well said, Aaron. If some folks from Illinois are listening, and we know that's the second biggest audience statewide, are listening and they want to get involved, whether that's a volunteer with a chapter, participate in a learn to hunt event or a hands-on habitat event, or just simply get the calendar of banquet dates, throw out your information to get them connected.
Yeah. So you could reach out to myself, Aaron Williams. You can find me at awilliams@pheasantsforever.org. In Southern Illinois, I have a great counterpart, Chance Webb. You could holler at Chance at he's C-Webb, W-E-B-B, at pheasantsforever.org, or our state coordinator, Katie Kosler-Stockman. Very helpful there. We do have a website. It's ihuntil.com. That has information on all of our chapters, finding a chapter, finding us, or even the biologist team. We do have an awesome biologist team here, like most of our states do. So a staff of about 16 here in the state of Illinois that could connect you as well with chapters. So feel free to holler, shoot me an email, phone call, find us that way, or any of our chapters. I'm sure would be more than willing to sit down and talk about the upcoming events they have.
Outstanding. Aaron, thank you very much for riding shotgun on this episode. Most importantly, Freddie, thank you for not only sharing your time today, but all throughout the year as a volunteer. Clearly making a difference in greater Chicagoland area and across the state of Illinois. So thank you for what you're contributing.
You. Thank you for inviting me to your podcast. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Right on. All right, folks, thank you for listening. I'm Bob St. Pierre reminding you to always follow the dog. Something good will rise. Thanks, folks.